unfortunately, I was 9 years of age. We were living in Carton at the time. And my brother said, and my father said, Michael McLaughlin freed them and lost their lives, unfortunately. It was horrific. Just normal day, school day. We're getting ready to get up for school. We're not getting ready. We're probably sound asleep. The door, knock on the door, and my sister Margaret answered the door, and basically the guard just told her that there was an accident, and it was traumatic for a young girl to hear that her father was missing, her brother was missing, and they didn't know what was going on, really, basically. And the whole thing then just, as a man, took off, as I say, turned into a nightmare for everybody. Nobody knew what was going on. There's so much act, so many people around the place, and we're lucky we had support from my uncles and aunts and other family members, but we were sort of, we didn't know what was happening. You know, it was just a whirlwind. Everything went crazy. Because my mother was, I said, she was 45. She was after having major back surgery up in Navan. And my father, I remember up at my father, we collected her brother home about a month before that. And she was in a wheelchair, so she wasn't able to do much. She wasn't able to work. We had to do anything. So basically overnight, our family was torn to shreds emotionally and financially in every other way. We didn't have anything. My mother done her best, and she must have been going through absolute hell. As you get older, you realise, you know, when you've got kids, she lost her son, her firstborn child, her eldest son, and her husband, young man, 48 years of age, and her 20-year-old son. What she would have went through was just horrific. And then trying to look after 8 other children on top of that. It's not like today with life, and people didn't have life insurance back then and these things. And being a fisherman, you live from week to week. One week you were rich and you mightn't have a penny for a month, but that's the way it was. That's the life they lived, you know, and they loved to see. But it was just a difficult time overall.
Do you remember the years that followed and then how it affected you and your family?
Yeah, it was just my sisters, obviously. They were older. They probably absorbed it a bit more than I did at times as young. And my younger sister, Maureen, we were very young. But it took its toll on everybody. Like, we really did. It was a very... Look back now, you can really see things that... Different issues all of us had. It's all attributed to the tragedy. There was no sort of counselling, and there was nothing, you know, nothing there. We had the goodness of people Sligo and people around, neighbours and friends, were very good, but you're on your own, basically. Back then it was a difficult time. And then 1986, then my brother's body was recovered finally. He was missing for over 5 years, 5.5, 6 years. So that was horrific, but it brought it all back again. But it was closure for my mother, and closure because he was at rest. She could put him to rest with his father. So that was in one way, it was a nice way. And, like, you know, my mother, how it happened, it was funny. She went in Scroan every summer on her holidays, and because she could see Killala Bay, she said, I think she felt close to where it happened. And she reckons she heard on the news that a body had been recovered. Nobody else heard it. So a few months later, when the guard of Tom Staunton came to the house, he's deceased now, he's a lovely man, he just walked in the door, and she told him he didn't have to open his mouth. So she knew, it was like mother's instinct that her son was at rest, you know, that he was. So that was, brought it all back again. We had to start on scratch and the trauma, relive it. But it was a bit quieter than the first time because it was sort of kept low key, which was grand. But mother and everyone was like, we're a bit older, and you realise what really happened then, maybe, and the emotions came really back then for a lot of us. You know, relive the whole thing, but at least we could put him at rest, you know.
It must have been those 6 years, though, waiting for that moment. It must have been awful to not have those answers and to not know where Declan was.
No, it was awful because obviously people do start to, your imagination runs away. You think that maybe, God forbid, he's banged his head and he's amnesia and he's on an island, he's picked up by a boat and he's here. It sounds crazy, but you do think like that because you're trying to grasp at straws. You're hoping beyond hope, you know. So, I mean, that's... Again, back to my mother, she was as you get older, you realise how the wonderful woman she must have been and strong woman she was to keep it going.
Did she talk about it much over the years?
No, not really, no. She spoke an odd time. We discussed it, obviously, with anniversaries and stuff, but it was hard to talk about. But as I get older, I was very close to my mother. I was the only boy left, and like it was just the lack of information on what happened. But like, there's all the theories, oh, this wasn't working right, and that was, the boat drifted in, and that's grand on a stormy night. But on a calm, very calm winter's night in November, a boat smashes and is found smashed to pieces a mile from shore with another boat within touching distance, and nobody survives. No life jackets, no lifeboats are launched, nothing happens. Just literally smashed to bits, smithereens, no answers. And to this day, we can't get any answers. I've been on to the Department of Marine, on to different departments in the government. We can't get even an accident report. We can't get nothing. No information. It's like it never happened. And I'm not saying, not trying to say something bad. We don't know. We just need to know what happened. You know, there's all these theories and everybody's got an opinion of what happened, but we don't know. We have no closure on it because we can't get any accident reports. It doesn't exist. The boat didn't exist. You know, so it's very frustrating, and that's what my mother found. She could never go start. It's obviously trauma of a tragedy like that. She's going to ask questions, and you might be unrealistic at times about what you think. But when you can't get answers and you can't get accident reports, you do have to ask her why, you know.
Do you think you'll ever get answers, John?
At this stage, I don't think so. I've tried everything. We've exhausted every angle, put it onto every different department and every National Archives, everything, and as if it's not there. There's no information there to find. It's only a local Garda report, and that's it. But there's no other information. And even though there's accident reports from boats, tragedies that happened years before that, ours isn't there. I don't know why. No idea.
And that night, I understand, while your father had a bit of engine trouble, he was an experienced, the three of them were very experienced fishermen, and it was only just not too far out at sea.
Yes, they were fishing all their lives. Mickey McLaughlin was there with them all his life. He was with them for years. And Declan, from the age of about 14, could skipper a boat on his own. He was that experienced. And my father is from up Belderg, up that direction. He knows them waters like the back of his hand. He's been fishing them for years and years. And in fact, the night that was in it, there was another fisherman right beside him when he got into difficulty, and he came towards him. And he told him, and he raised him, said he was fine. And all you could see was the lights going. Within seconds, the boat disappeared. So I could understand on a stormy night these things happened quickly, but not on a calm night. I don't know. We just don't know. I'm not trying to be conspiracy theorists or anything like that. I'd just love to get some answers, good or bad.
You're one of unfortunately many families across the Northwest who have been inflicted by tragedy such as this, and it must be awful when they don't come home.
Absolutely horrific. You know, as all of us would experience growing up, different occasions, weddings, births, sports, the other kids with their dad on the line. You're the one person that hasn't got his dad on the line, you know. And that's, I mean, me selfish saying that, I know, but it does make a difference, you know. It's very important. We all grow up, we like to have our family members there for the important occasions in life, whether it's births, it says weddings, whatever. But you miss out on all these things, you really do. You can't feel that the void is always there, no matter what. Same for me, for the girls, every one of us had to go through this. We had to, and we're very lucky, we're very close.